Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Single Mommy Fabulous podcast. I am Adrienne, and Nicole is here too, of course. Today, we are talking about puberty.
Yay!
Woo! And what it is like to have kids going through puberty. I'll say this, Kalia has just started. She is 10 and a half. Well, she's almost 11. She'll be 11 in December.
Oh, wow.
And she has just started the puberty. And it is a wild ride. She got her period last month, which was exciting. This month when it came, it wasn't so much exciting. There was a little bit of tears and tantrums and, you know, sass and all that good stuff. So it's been interesting. It's been very interesting. And another interesting thing is, too, she, when she was 5, we thought she had started puberty then, because she had hair, you know, she was starting to, her breasts were starting to develop a little bit. I know. But it was mainly the hair. She had hair under her, in her armpits and in her nether region. but it turns out it wasn't puberty. It was something called, I think, premature. I'm not going to say this right. Premature adrenarche?
Never heard of it.
Right. Neither had I. And it looks like puberty.
Okay.
It looks like they're starting puberty, but it's really not. It's almost like a hormone misfire.
Mm-hmm.
Sex hormones get active too early.
Oh, boy.
For no reason. Like nothing has signaled them to do anything. And they just are like, hey, we're here. We're in here. You know? So that was a trip too. Dealing with all of that. But I don't know. And I know Olivia is getting to that age where she's gonna be starting. Have you seen anything?
Oh my gosh. You know, what's really, so the doctor, when we went for the 7-year-old checkup, looks and she says, oh, there's hair down there. And I had just noticed that there was hair when she was in the bath a couple weeks before. And I was like, Olivia, make sure to clean between your legs because she doesn't wipe very well, you know? Yeah. So at that time, she's doing a much better job, I'd like to report. But that's very common. So if you have a little girl and she's not wiping well, you will notice that, and you're going to have to work with her because it took
about
7-8 months for us to get it straightened out.
Oh, yeah. Same
but,
here.
So she had this hair and I'm like, just wash it. And then my mom goes, oh, that's pubic hair. And I'm like, what? Just what? And so then I just started looking at it like, oh my God, she has pubic hair. I'm going to die. I had a friend who started her period at 9. And so I'm like, and then, so after that, you know, about 4.5 months ago, I saw these little buds and I'm like, no, what are those? Oh my God.
And yeah,
she's still refusing to use the bras that I've got her. She won't wear an undershirt either. So I've got these little nibs in every shirt. You know, she went to take her dance competition yesterday. She was doing her tryouts and this little girl is like, her little nibs are bouncing a little bit. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. You need a damn bra. Like, why are you fighting me on a bra? I want to, oh my God, I'm just so angry about this whole bra thing. And then I'm like, I come home, you know, I'm really fortunate to have a mother who has always been really open So that helps a lot. So I went in there and I'm like, your granddaughter and her boobies. And she refuses to wear a bra. And my mom's like, Nicole, have you ever thought she's embarrassed about having breasts? And I'm like, okay, because I, when it was time for me to get a bra, I was like, bra!
Right, like, yes, let's do this.
This one's like, bra, no bra, no bra, please. So we're fighting that fight right now, but it's, you know, I know it's coming. Her, she's got attitude, but I don't know what it's, you know, I don't know if it's the hormones or she's just mean. I don't know.
Oh, you'll notice the difference. You'll notice the difference because Kalia had an attitude before too, but this is something else. This is definitely different. And it's so cute. She has cravings.
Oh, she's like, I need ice cream and chocolate. And I'm like,
oh yeah. And I'm like, that's so sweet.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and we have the bra kind of fight too. But it's partially my fault because when hers first started coming, they started appearing. Well, her pectoral muscles kind of started to have that more defined look, like they weren't buds, but just like that. And then you could see like where the cleavage, you know, you could kind of see that forming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was at 5. But she didn't start getting buds until she was about, I want to say 8,
mm-hmm.
when they started. And then you're like, oh, you know. And I told her back then, I said, you know, still pretty early, you know, I'll leave it up to you whether or not you want to wear a bra. And she was like, yes. And then she was like, no. So I'm like, whatever. But as they have continued to grow, and she's probably like maybe an A cup. At this point, like, she has boobs.
Oh boy.
And so now she's like, yeah, I don't really feel like it. And I'm just like, yeah, but you kind of should.
Yeah.
And she's
right.
Like,
it's like, oh.
Right. And I'm like, they're not little things anymore. Like, they are full blown breasts. Like, maybe you should, you know. And she's like, no, I don't really want to wear one and I don't like them. And so then I was like, okay, well, let's try a sports bra.
Yeah.
See if that'll work. And she wears that one more often, but she still like, she doesn't want to wear it. And it's driving me, like, I don't care around the house, but it's just when we go outside, I'm just like, would you please?
Yeah. That's for me what it is. It's like, and then I realized, when you're in dance and you're dancing with a shirt on, you need to, you know, you need to do something because jiggling, I don't care.
Yeah.
Even I have large breasts. And when I danced at her studio, they were like, can you like get a sports bra? Can you tie those things down? I mean, you know, like it's problematic because you don't want to distract from the dance with your chest. That's the
thing,
you know, her ballet costume, because it's or ballet stuff, leotards, they are so tight that it doesn't look weird. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just the shirts, and she wears baggy shirts. And so you're like, I'm literally smacking myself every day going, I can't, you know, she's beautiful. Our girls are beautiful. Right. So
they are beautiful girls.
And you take them out in the street and there are men. And I hate to say that men are still kind of about it, but they're looking at your child and you're like, whether or not they're looking at them lasciviously or not,
right,
you don't want them looking there. It's just, don't look there. Those are not for you. Okay. I don't care. They're not for you.
Right. And then it's like, I don't want that to make her feel like something's wrong with her body,
or right,
like she needs to, you know, be a certain way. I mean, and it's like, I don't know. And then it's like a catch 22, because then it's like, because of that, that's why I want her to wear the bra. Right.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but then I don't want her to feel any old kind of way about her body. I want her to be okay with herself, but then it's like, I'm like, no, but you need to cover those up because people are, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's quite frankly, definitely a catch 22. Because I can
tell
through my 20s, I have large breasts, but they were very perky and I'd never really had to wear a bra. So when I didn't want to, I didn't, you know? Right. And so it was, you know, I can understand wanting the freedom, especially in the summertime, because it's hot as hell and no one wants boob sweat. We all know that. So, you know, I get it. But then you're like, but can you help me out though? Because I'm having a problem with you. I think it's my problem too. You know, like I'm having a problem with you having boobs. So can
we? Oh yeah, that's definitely a problem.
Yeah. Exactly. That is definitely a
problem. And then I think too, to like my experience, you know, because I developed kind of young too. I had my boobs kind of came when I was 9. And just, you know, the amount of teasing and then not just that, but just having like adult men like look at you in a certain way. And you're just like, I don't understand what that means, but it feels really gross.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of, and then I started wearing like really baggy shirts and sweaters and stuff like that. Cause I figured if I could hide them,
yeah,
you know, then I'd be okay. But I still didn't really. Like, I wanted to wear a bra, but I don't know. It just was a weird time. But puberty is a weird time.
Yeah, and I think it's really hard because, you know, I really didn't have breasts until I was 16, which seems really weird, right? But considering all things considered. right. And, you know, at that point, you are already your hormones have, whether you have boobs or not, by 16 most of the time you're already interested in the opposite sex or the same sex or some, you're interested in sex in some way, not maybe intercourse, but you're interested in kissing and hugging and having relationships by that age. Right. So it wasn't as weird as being a child who is still wanting to play with Barbies or ride a scooter or, you know, and has no interest in boys except to say, oh, maybe he's cute, but, you know, they don't want that attention. And to develop at an early age, I think you're absolutely right. I think you hit something right on the head is that, you know, developing early can be problematic because you get all the sexual attention that you don't want because you're not ready for it.
Exactly. And it's weird. And it's like, it just, I know it made me feel like almost like having boobs was somehow wrong.
Yeah.
Like I shouldn't, like this shouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like not making it like, no, they're gross for doing that. You know, it was like, I internalized it. Like, either something I'm doing is wrong or something like that, you know? And it's like, it's horrible, you know? And I would hate that. Thank God. I mean, the coronavirus has been a horrible thing. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has been a blessing in so many ways too.
Right.
And that's one of them because she doesn't have to go to school.
Right.
And deal with that at this moment. By the time they go to school, there will be other girls that have developed. You know what I mean? Like she won't be
the only one.
A few. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like, God, that she can deal with this at home.
Yeah. You know, she didn't get it at school. She got it with, you know, that it is, that is a blessing because, you know, God forbid you go to school and you start your period and then you're like running to the school nurse and you're like, oh, my mommy, you know?
Traumatic. Like
it is. I mean, I didn't think, you know, I didn't start at school either. I started at home and I'm bracing myself because, you know, I don't think I have till 16 with this kid.
And
I don't
think so.
No. I remember she will be 9 next year. And I remember being 9. And I remember what my mother said to me about puberty, and I wasn't even close. My God, I must have had buds or something. Or I was doing something weird. Who knows? I'm a weird kid. And so she sits me down, and my mother's a nurse, so, you know, this is a very clinical talk that we had, where she says, you know, you have eggs, and your eggs are how you make babies. And so every month, one of your eggs will release from your, you know, from the, I forget the technical terms because I'm not a doctor and a nurse, but then they'll go through your fallopian tubes and the lining of your uterus will get thick and they will, you know, be in there. And then when it's time for them to release, then you will have your period and you will be sloughing off stuff in your uterus. And I'm just like, holy shit, lady. I just came in here to see how you were, not have this conversation. And I remember it really well because she was in the bathtub. And I, you know, oh, we were such an open family, like nakedness is something we do, but like, so I would just, you know, I'm just sitting there like, she's like, have a seat on the toilet. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And she has this talk with me. Right. And I'm like, who the hell wants to have babies? Like after that, I was like, I'm all out. I don't want nothing to do with none of it. None of it. I'm out. I don't let it. Don't know. I good.
Oh my God.
I should let her have that conversation with my daughter, and it'll wait till she's 16 because, you know, it obviously worked for me.
Well, you know, there, my mom got Kalia this great book about puberty. I wish I should have got it before we jumped on. I'll have to send you the title. Maybe we could put it in the show notes or whatever. But
yeah, no, that'd
be great, great book. And it goes from the beginning to sex. Ooh. Like, it's great. I mean, it doesn't go there, but it goes there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it talks about, it showed there's like this diagram, or not diagram, but there's a page that has pictures of your breast growth, and it's like, oh, stage wow. one, stage two, stage three, stage four, you know, so then she gosh. Can look at it and be like, oh, well, I'm right here. And then, well, what does that mean? And then there's like a little thing under that you can read. Then it talks about your period, that it goes really in depth of your period. It goes into, you know, like your reproductive organs and like what all that means. And
oh man.
It talks about when you start to have like sexual desires and stuff like that. It just said like, what does it mean? Like, what is your body doing? You know, type of thing. It's not, you know, it's fairly clinical, you know, very matter of fact to the point. And it kind of, there's some parts that go really in depth, and then there's others where it just kind of touches on things, you know, because they're, I think they're trying to consider the age range of girls that'll be reading right. this.
Yeah.
So right. they don't dive into everything, but
yeah,
but it's really great. And then it's like, I don't have to have the talk. You know, it's just like, well, what does it say in your book? You know, why don't you find that in your book? And then, so when her period was coming, there were a few days. Well, there was one day in particular, she had run out of the bathroom and was like, mommy, there's like white stuff in my underwear. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why? I'm thinking chalk. Like, you know, so I'm like, what do you mean white stuff? So she goes back in the bathroom, she comes back and she has it on her, you know, on her fingers. And I'm like, oh God, like, I don't, okay. So she's showing it to me and I was like, I think that's discharge. And she's like, well, what is that? And I was like, find your book. Let's read the book and then we'll talk about it. So she read, she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's natural. Like, we all do it, whatever. So she's like, but why now? Like, why am I getting it now? And I said, well, probably because your period's about to start, you know? And she's like, oh no, I don't want it to come and I'm scared and all of this. And I was like, no, you don't have to be scared. I'm like, let's read about it in the book. You know? And so she read it on her own, then she was asking me about mine, you know. So then the next like 2 or 3 days, there's more discharge, but it was getting thinner and more milky. Because at first it was like cottage cheese, like it was really thick, you know. Yeah. So like the days, you know, a couple of days go by and it's like thinner and it looks more normal. And I was like, yeah. Okay. And I said, well, yeah, it's going to start anytime. Yeah. So just be prepared. So
I would have thought it was a yeast infection.
But it didn't look okay. And this is going to be gross.
Yeah. Well, puberty.
Just warning you. But you know, I smelled it because I'm like,
oh, okay.
At first, it did look questionable.
Yeah. And,
but it wasn't a weird color. It was still kind of like that milky sort of whitish, kind of off-whitish color. But I smelled it because I'm like, well, you know, they're like, no, it doesn't smell like anything. I said, so that's good, you know. And then I made her smell it because I'm like, you need to know, like, this is what your stuff smells like. You know, you should know that. And she was like, I don't want to smell it. And I'm like, I don't care. You need to smell it because you need to get to know this smell, because when it smells different, then you'll know something might be wrong.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I never thought of that. That's actually. Yeah.
I mean, it's not fun, but you know.
No.
But so, you know, so it kind of thinned out and it was more normal. And then literally, like, I think the next day after that, it started. Or 2 days after. 2 days. She was at her grandparents' house. She wasn't even home. And it started. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then when I went to go get her, she was like, I got my period. And I was like, I know, Nana told me. And she was like, you want to see? And I was like,
no.
On the inside, like, not really. And I'm like, sure, show me, you know. And yeah, just like a little bit, but it was crazy, you know. And then showing her how to use a pad and well, really a panty liner, because there wasn't that much blood. Yeah. But it's just, the whole thing is a you know, because with boys it's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Because totally you had different. Both experiences. And
so yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, and, you know, as much as I'm sitting here going, oh my God, gross. You know, I hope that when it does happen, that I can make it more of a celebration rather than a kind of situation. Because for me, the period, and I don't care about puberty. I don't care about boobs. I don't care about talking to you about sex, but I don't want to talk about periods because I hate them. And I've had the worst experience as far as my reproductive system that anyone should have. So I'm just kind of like, no.
I know.
I want it to sort of pass over her, but then I want her to have grandchildren. So, you know.
Right. I
can't, and so I will hopefully rise to the challenge when it comes.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's uncomfortable, but I think the thing that has helped me is to just deal with it like in the most scientific way possible.
Yeah,
you know, like just this is biology.
Yes.
You know, and just think of it that way. Like if I'm sitting in front of a group of boys, how would I explain it to them?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm, that's how I had to think of it with Isaiah, because I was so petrified and then especially too, because it's weird, like, or I'd imagine it's weird having that kind of conversation with your mom. And it's like, you know, we don't share the same physiology. So it's like, what could I possibly know? You know, but it's like, no, I know some things because biology, right? Like literally because of biology class. So I really had to keep it like super sterile and just, you know, and know like, nicknames of body parts and things like that. Just like, okay, this is your penis. These are your testicles. Da 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 da. You know, whatever. Like, this is what they do, and blah blah blah. And like, he was so weirded out. But I think it. I have to ask him. I think it went okay because we did it so early. He was like, it was before he started puberty, so he had to have been about 9 or 10.
Yeah.
When we were talking about all this stuff and like talking about drugs and like all that kind of stuff. And he just was like, I don't want to talk about my body parts. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about your body parts either. I said, but you need to know how this stuff works.
Yeah.
It's going to start working and then you're not going to know what to do or what's happening to you. I'm like, so we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he just was not having it. But then when puberty started, you know, he wasn't shocked. He still was kind of weirded out, but he wasn't shocked. He wasn't like, ah, he was just like, ah, mom said this was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, thank God.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, like I would like to have a talk with my daughter before it happens because I was so comfortable with my body. I just go it when it happened, when the way that my mom explained it, I went and got a pad and I just put it on and I didn't say a word to anyone because nobody ever believes me. I know you do, but I'm shy and I did not want to, I want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
I know that my child is going to be the same because, she doesn't talk to me about anything, to be real honest, unless it has to do with something benign. So, you know,
right.
I know that it is my duty to give her the information before it happens to her because she's not gonna, you know, I'm not the parent who's not gonna talk about it. I'm not, you know, I'm gonna be there for you when you hit puberty. I'm gonna be there for you when you fall in love or lust or whatever and you wanna talk about sex. And that's gonna be even more uncomfortable because you're not supposed to ever do that because you're my baby. Yeah, but you know, I know that the kind of mother I want to be is the, you know, my mother, as far as these things went, was a great resource to me. She was never judgmental or intolerant of dumbass questions about my body or about sex. So I, you know, I just want to try to do the same for my child because I think it helped me a great deal.
Yeah. And I think it's wise. You know, I have a very opposite experience. Started mine. My mom really didn't tell us anything. We knew that, you know, being a girl or being a woman that you would bleed every month, but she didn't say like why. So we didn't really know. And really until we learned at school, well, Anitra did first because she's older, obviously. So she learned it first. And then, so when I started mine, we were home alone together. And I had just turned 12 and I didn't know what was happening. And she was like, okay, come on, like, come in the bathroom, I'll explain it all. And I'm like, okay. And like, she explained the whole thing. And I was like, wow, like, that's really cool. I didn't know, like, our bodies could do all of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat, you know?
Yeah.
But I wondered for a really long time, like, mom, like, why didn't you tell us, you know? But she's, my mom, you know, not so much anymore, but back in those days, she was real kind of squeamish about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like she didn't talk about sex at all. My God.
Yeah.
Talk about not knowing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's generational. I think our not really victims, but their moms didn't talk to them. I mean, my mom had my sister when she was 19 years old and had no idea that her water broke when it broke because she just kept changing bed sheets, you know. And because she didn't know, she didn't know anything about it. I bet you she probably didn't even know that she could get pregnant. I mean, really, like, there was no sex ed in school,
right?
So you know, poor lady, she went through some stuff. So I guess in her, that's why she turned out so opposite, probably, when she had her own children. So she was like, you guys are not going to be any fools, and you're going to know about your bodies, you're going to know about sex, and you know, we'll definitely have to have do a whole show dedicated to talking to your kids about sex, because I swear to God, I know it may be season two, because you know, we may have to work our way up to being that open, but
yeah, that's a hard conversation.
You know, it is a very hard conversation.
Woo!
Right. But we have girls and we can't let them down.
We have to. Yeah.
I mean, we can, and even if you have boys, you shouldn't let them down either. Whether when you're talking about puberty and the changes of their body, and their bodies have power too, and power that they need to know what to do with, you know? So,
yeah. And I think too, boys seem to, then, well, at least I'll say it, back when Isaiah was that age, 10, 11, 12 in there. The boys, you know, at the time, seemed to talk way more about sex than the girls. Like, the girls would talk about kissing and holding hands and stuff like that. But the boys talked. Now, they were having sex equally as much.
Right.
I'm just talking conversation-wise. Boys talked about it way more. And it was just like, oh my gosh. And I was just remember feeling like, I'm glad we had the conversation before he got to middle school, because that was kind of when, like,
all the poop hit
the fan, and everybody was doing everything. And I was just like, Jesus, at least in my day, we waited till high school.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely, I read when I had no kids, I was reading about 9-year-olds having oral sex, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
what?
Like, it goes down these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know I have to have the conversation, and I probably have to have it sooner than I'd like. But I'm hoping that she never likes boys ever. That's my hope.
Yeah.
Well she will. No, I don't know what I really hope. I don't really hope that, but.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's tough. And then what was funny too, with Isaiah, at least, you know, we had the sex talk. I think he had been like 10.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it, and like, this is what it is. This is, you know, and he's like, oh, thank you. And he was like, you know, that's gross. But then when he got to middle school, he would come home like weekly. Well, you know, Johnny said that you can get an STD doing this. Is that true? No, boy, that's not true. Or, you know what I mean? Like, well, that, and I'd be like, oh my God. And then I was just like, thank God, because if I had waited, mm-hmm. he would have just talked to his friends and right. learned all kinds of stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And it's not true.
None of it.
You know, so it's like, it's super important, I think.
Yeah.
To talk to them before they're even thinking about it.
Oh, gosh.
And it's hard. It's so hard.
I think my mom may have rolled sex into that talk about puberty, which is probably the part I blocked out of my memory bank. But, you know, gosh. And yeah, that little right. girl. Started at 9 years old, you know, there was some sexual activity then for her.
Yeah, that's
and it was rumored. I mean, she never admitted to any of it. But, and that's the other thing, right? So we tell our children about puberty and they're growing boobs. And my friend had rather large boobs at 9 years old. And like you said, the teasing, but we don't talk, you know, about, you know, or I don't think she could go home because her family was really religious and say, they're making up stories about me doing X, Y, or Z. You know, and I used to tell people to shut up about her because I didn't, I'm not, as you know, I'm not a person who likes people spreading gossip and rumors. That's not cool. Right. But she suffered because she blossomed early. And I was her closest friend and probably her most ardent defender because I just couldn't stand it. I don't care if she did or she didn't do it. It wasn't your place to talk about her. And I feel like, you know, as our children develop, being that safe harbor is so important. And I think the first step is just talking about puberty, because if you are open and you are honest about what the changes are in their body, they can come home then and say to you, such and such is talking about my boobs, or such and such is saying this about me, without fear of you judging them. So it starts so early, developing the relationship with your children about their sexuality, because puberty is just a lead into it all. And so we have to be really, really diligent about making sure our kids feel safe to talk about these things.
I totally agree. And Kalia just brought me the book. So,
oh, thanks, Kalia.
It's called Girl's Guide to Becoming a Teen.
Oh, nice.
Getting used to life in your changing body. And it's by the American Medical Association.
Oh, very nice. Except for they're not teens.
Yeah, I know. But it really, so there's like 9 chapters.
Oh, nice.
Puberty.
Did she read the whole thing?
She's read up until chapter 7, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because that's kind of what pertains to her age.
Right.
There's a chapter on puberty, on eating and exercise, on your height and how you, you know, your growth spurts and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's really cool.
Skin, teeth, and hair is a chapter. Reproductive system, your period, your feelings, relationships, and sex.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it covers everything. It's so great. It's a great book.
Yeah, that sounds like a great book. And speaking of, my daughter has pimples. Oh, and Jesus. I just am starting to tell her, you know, you have to wash your face, and I gave her, you know, a rather expensive thing I got in my lovely BoxyCharm, but it has tea tree oil, which tea tree oil is a natural kind of thing to work with the acne, you know. Yes. She's young. No, you need to go to the doctor and ask them for creams or even buy creams. Try the tea tree oil first because it actually works. Or toothpaste. Because we do that, like, right before, if she's going to have, like, a dance competition or something where she's going to put on makeup and she has a little blemish, we always toothpaste it, like, a couple days before so that we can shrink it and make it a little less noticeable for pictures and so on.
And, you know, witch hazel works.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know what. But it almost like it dries them out.
Yeah. It's an astringent. Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, there's so much that goes into puberty. Why? So
it's a magical time.
So magical. I'm like, can we be, you know, what's so crazy is children are children for so short a period of time. And
yes.
And you just, as you grow, as they grow, you're starting to realize they're not even really mentally, they're still your baby and they're still very much dependent on you, but they're going through so many changes so rapidly. and puberty sucks. I haven't had to deal with it with her yet, but I'm not a fan.
Well, you'll see. I mean, it's, you know, I think just, you know, like we've said, keep it to biology.
Keep it to biology. Yeah.
Be honest, you know, and it helps.
Yeah.
It helps. It's still just a weird feeling. You know what I think is weird? Well, what was weird about it for me felt like their lives flashed before my eyes. Like literally 2 days ago, you were in my belly.
Yes.
You know, flipping around and carrying on. And then you were a little baby and now you're about to become an adult. Like you're in that transition time of transitioning from being a kid to an adult. And you know it's coming and you know it's going to happen. And you know it has to happen. Yes. Like there's no way around it, right? But at the same time, it's just like, can't you just stay my little precious
snuggly wuggly wootie patootie? I need more time. I feel like childhood should last a little longer.
It goes so fast. Then it's like once you hit that bump, then you're just like, you know, 4 or 5 more years, you'll be out of the house.
No, like, I can't do it. I don't
it's
just, want it.
It's so sad. And I mean,
well, and sad. You've gone through that already. You have one grown, doing his thing, going to college, being an awesome human. And then you've got this little one who's almost not little anymore. And so,
yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my gosh, in a minute, you know, she's going to be, you know, doing her own thing. And she's not going to be worried about me or wanting to, you know, I mean, she might, but you know what I mean? It
changes, right? So.
Yeah. And it's, you know, since I've been through it with Isaiah, it's like, okay, I see the other side and it's not as bad as it feels like it's going to be, but still, it's still an adjustment and it's still sad and it's it's still hard and it's still like, you know, so when I look at her now, I'm just like, ugh, you know, like you're going to do it too. And, yeah. You know, and then you're going to be a teenager and want to be with your friends all the time and not want to be home and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like,
Yeah.
Puberty is like the gateway to that. And it's just
like a gateway drug.
I want that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I do want you to be an adult and I do want you to grow and mature and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
like, I don't know. It's just, it's hard. Parenting is hard.
Dude, I had baby fever the other day and then I remembered all the crap I had to go through. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm good. I lost my dang mind for a minute.
Like, never mind.
Never mind. It's just that you want a baby. And you know what? Just go hug somebody else's and be okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's too funny.
True, though. So true.
It is.
So, Adrian, thanks so much for sharing your experience with your kids and their experiences with puberty and your experience, because I think it's very valuable for especially parents who haven't been through it yet, because as one who hasn't, it's a challenge thinking about. We will put that book up in the show notes on singlemommyfabulous.blog. And we are looking forward to seeing you in our next episode in 2 weeks. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.